Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Why haven't you learned anything?
Man, our school shit is a joke. The same people who control the school system control the prison system and the whole social system ever since slavery.
Some redneck crackers. Right around the time Third Base dropped the Cactus album, but I was Lee Malcolm. I changed my name in 89, cleaning parts of my brain like a baby nine. I took a history class serious, front row, every day of the week, third period, fucking with the teacher's head, calling the racist. I try to show them crackers some light, they couldn't face it. I got my diploma from a school called Rickers, full of teenage mothers and drug dealing niggas in the hallways. The popo was always present, took me through niggas' possessions, looking for dope and weapons, get your lessons. That's what my moms kept stressing. I tried to pay attention, but their classes weren't interesting. They seemed to only glorify the Europeans, claiming Africans were only 3/5 of human beings.
They schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom, we trying to get all we could get. All my high school
niggas can suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit.
That brainwash camp, they make you think if you drop out, you ain't got a chance to advance in life. They try to make you pull your pants up. Students fight the teachers and get took away in handcuffs. And if that wasn't enough, then they expel you. All your people's understanding, but to them, you a failure. Observation and participation, my favorite teachers. When they beat us in the head with them books, it don't reach us. Whether you break dance or rock suede Adidas or be in the bathroom with your clique smoking reefer, then you know they mad class. Ain't important unless you add enough cash and multiple. Unemployment ain't rewarding, they may as well teach us extortion. You either get paid or locked up, the principal is like a warden in a 4-year sentence. Mad niggas never finish, but that doesn't mean I couldn't be a doctor or a dentist.
They fools can't teach us shit, my people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. They fools can't teach us shit, my people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. Bullshit.
Today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks go get to get. So why you trying to kick them dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked us. And we were always considered trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's beat the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That's freaks worse than TG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead button.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
So now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation. Tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest hit, a task hit, a nigga got his ass kicked. Shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga you can sue. Because the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with these void of pop. I feel my hot rocks like bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boy's got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do my homage. Do we got a brother? I'm McNair. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil's dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face. But I bust two times to the guts. Do the Reverend Calvin bust. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on me. Sell out ass niggas.
Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Running. Then I got older, started planning to run it. Hung around my OGs, they would mold me to run it. Then I got cocky, had a couple of running. Did a small bit, but learned mad wisdom from it. Got my mind right, now it's my time to run it. To the finish line, it's the step where I'm running. To make sure that my daughter's after me, gon' run it. Running from the past to a higher state of mind. Running from the police, ain't got time to do no time. Running from these fakers, cause they game be so see-through. And running to that money like I'm running from the people. Running like I'm in a car race just to get it. Running like I'm late, no time to waste, I'm trying to get there. Running like I'm about to save my people when I get there. And do it like a king, ain't never did it when I get there. Cause I'm running, running, running to success. You know you're supposed to be eating off your talents. Running, running, and ain't no stopping. I'm so out of breath, it sound like I'm beatboxing. I'm running, I want what's mine. You can have what you want if you focus. focus your mind. I'm running, and I ain't stopping. I'm so out of breath, sound like I'm beatboxing. Running from the media and these lies that they feed us. Fingers to the government and this fake food they feed us. Turn you to a consumer with these messages they feed ya. Keep you disinformed with these messages they feed us. Cancer and disease from this food that they feed ya. Billions on healthcare from this food that they feed us. Kill us, but when it's time for war, then y'all need us. Medical experiment with live human feeders. So now I suggest that you lace up a runner. Go learn your history, boo, it's I trying to run it. Look at our history and see how we used to run it. That's why they kept us down, because they know we're running. But now we're getting smarter, we about to take over. They call it the end of the world, we call it the takeover. Running because you realize this world belongs to us. And running like some kings and queens and warriors. Cause I'm running, running, running to success. You know you're supposed to be eating off your talents. Running, running, and ain't no stopping. I'm so out of breath, it sound like I'm beatboxing. I'm running, I'm running, I want what's mine. You can have what you want if you focus your mind. I'm running, I'm running, and I ain't stopping. I'm so out of breath, it sound like I'm beatboxing. I'm running, running, running to success. You know you're supposed to be eating off your talents. Running, running, it ain't no stopping. I'm so out of breath, it sound like I'm beatboxing. I'm running, I'm running, I want what's mine. You can have what you want if you focus your mind. I'm running, I'm running, and I ain't stopping. I'm so out of breath, it sound like I'm beatboxing. I'm running.
Till I get free. Till I get free. I'll keep
power. You are listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We are coming to you live here in the belly of the beast in America KKK. We want to give a shout out to everyone who's listening to us here in the United States, as well as the people who are listening to us all over the planet Earth. We send in a special shout out to those of you who are listening on the mother continent of Africa, and all the many countries who have people who are listening here, as it is definitely the late night hour on the other side of the globe, the other side of the Atlantic. Shouts out to everyone across the other nations on the planet in South Central America, the UK, Australia, Japan, China, all the different places that are popping up on our board as we speak that are listening to our broadcast. We thank you, and we ask you to continue to support the New Black Panther Party by going on to our website, www.nbpp.org. Click the donate button, which will take you to our humanitarian arm of the New Black Panther Party, which is the Black Cross. On there, you will see all the instructions, the multiple ways that you can contribute. Tonight's broadcast is entitled The Battle Against the Bootlickers and the Sellouts. That's right. We not only have an open enemy of the European and the so-called system of wannabe white supremacists, but we have those amongst us of the Black nation who continue to work against our best interests, who continue to side and be the puppets for the so-called white supremacist system. And those are just as much enemies as the open enemy. So with that being said, we have our national Minister of Culture on the line, Brother Greg, Black Power.
Black Power, me, loud and clear.
Loud and clear, loud and clear. Do we have a special shout out from the Young Princess?
Black Power!
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. That sets the right tone. That definitely brings everything into the perspective of what it is that we're fighting for. We are not only fighting for the future generation, but we are fighting for our ancestors and those of us who are here on the battlefield, in the trenches, who are wide awake, who are not only conscious, but have a revolutionary mind state. Platform is the platform for you to not only hear relevant information, hear from relevant people who have something to bring to the table, but you can also participate. If you call, if you're listening online and you want to get involved into the discussion, dial in on your phone to 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. You press the number one and you can get into the discussion. With that being said, Brother Greg, you brought this topic, the battle against the bootlickers and the sellouts. I understand that you heard a statement from former President Barack Obama that triggered you to say we got to talk about this topic. So let's bring it on in for you to speak on that. And later on in the broadcast, I have a couple of clips from Chancellor Williams, the author of Destruction of African Civilization, who I believe these clips may also help to build on tonight's topic. So without further ado, Brother Greg, you have the floor. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Oh, one sec. Here she is.
Black Power!
If she had to get one more in. yeah, there's a lot, you know, going on. But specifically, you know, I was a couple of days ago, you know, they're doing all of the campaigning for the governors and so forth across the country. And it was just so amusing just to hear, you know, what's going on down in Virginia with the comments, you know, by a former president. You know, he made a comment on the lines of just how the media, not only the media, but how the Republicans are getting all riled up about fake culture, you know, wars. And when I first, you know, heard it, it was just, you know, in briefing, I was just kind of curious, so what the hell is he talking about, fake culture wars? And just reading some articles, you know, from several different, you know, newspapers, he really stuck his neck out there just to give a little bit of what they were referring to and talking about down in Virginia is there's a lot of controversy going on with the Board of Education and the school systems down there. And one side, they definitely don't want parents to be involved whatsoever when it comes down to decisions made about their children's education. They pretty much don't want no input from them whatsoever. So I kind of, you know, figured that, you know, that much, because that's something that's going on nationwide, which is, you know, something that's detrimental, you know, to all children, you know, personally, for, you know, foremost. But just digging and reading, you know, some more of what was going on, it comes out that there was a couple of sexual assault incidents that took place in this particular school system. And the Board of Education, they pretty much, you know, tried to sweep it under the rug. But, of course, people do a lot of diligent, you know, work and put some diligent efforts into it. And it came out also that it had a lot to do with a transgender, you know, issue where there's a male student, you know, dressed, you know, as a girl, you know, I just call it dressed like a girl, dressed and everything. And he assaulted a female student, you know, in the bathroom. And, of course, any parent or any person with some logic of damn sense will be outraged at that. But a lot of the arguments and the debates that began after that was regarding the transgender issues. This particular school system was on the verge, or they might still be on the verge of allowing transgender, you know, bathrooms and so forth. And, of course, a lot of parents are up in arms, you know, about that, you know, rightfully damn so. But when former president made his comment, it was pretty much trying to imply that, hey, these damn Republicans don't have nothing else to do. We'll talk about all of these issues that are affecting our cultures and following all of this fake news. And once I started to put a lot of things together, it really didn't surprise me whatsoever that, you know, he would say something like that. Whenever it comes to specific things dealing with our culture, and first I'm going to speak regarding dealing with culture in the context of what they were referring to in these situations going on down there, which is transgender, educational rights for parents, removing racial portions of education, historical black African studies out of the educational system. So that's what they were referring to as a whole when we're talking about our culture. But I want to speak specifically about when it comes down to our people. So it didn't really surprise me too much that a comment like that would be made when there wasn't, you know, anything done, you know, for us as a people with him being in office, other than showing some great examples of going to the motherland and further cutting off our culture. Assassination, Muammar Gaddafi, the agreements military-wise of being in Nigeria because of the oil. We can tie in so many different things that had been done detrimentally, decision-wise, by that administration against our culture. So, again, it really didn't surprise me too much, you know, to hear that. But he would just go on the list of, you know, those bootlickers and so forth. But we still have battle going on. And many people are still so, you know, awestruck about the fact of him being a president, labeled, quote-unquote, the first black president. But again, digging through records and just looking at what was put right before us during that administration, I would love to hear some people point out some things that was done specifically for us, some things that was really laid out for us as a people. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember his exact words, but, you know, he played that when my hands were politically tied, that I couldn't make a comment on the murder of, you know, one of my own brothers. So, again, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that we are so, not we, but a lot of people are still so bamboozled and just led down the wrong path due to all of this buffoonery, this clown, the clowning around about us as a people, not taking us seriously. So that's really what sparked me so much to want to find out exactly, you know, what this fake culture war, you know, comment was about. It's not about advancing our people. It's about trying to be politically focused on continually to keep us separated and divided. Anybody got any comments or anything, please tap in. Tap in on the line. I would love to hear some comments. That's all I have to share right now. Black Power. Well, we got a little one here who wants to shout out some Black Power.
Black Power!
Black Power. But it's, you know, I'll just continue on a little bit. But, yeah, definitely, you know, devastated continually, you know, to me just to see and to hear, you know, comments like that and not taking, you know, things, you know, seriously. Specifically, you know, when we talk about education, you know, down there, not only in Virginia, West Virginia, but also across the country in Washington State, there's a lot of things going on there, specifically with pulling our history out of their curriculum, pulling out, you know, our, you know, history right out of the school system. I mean, that's just a blow worse than wanting to start with slavery as the starting point, you know, of us historically. But they have the audacity to want to go the full length of not even wanting to discuss and talk about certain topics, you know, certain major issues, you know, or things that would benefit us as a people. So there's a lot, you know, that are going on. So I'm not just going to, you know, point out our former president, but just down the line, the entire administration now don't really have our best interests at heart. We saw all through the campaigning, from left to right, top to bottom, how reparations was such a major topic and how it will be something that was discussed, talked about, and addressed, and just how if we didn't vote for, you know, the current, you know, president of this country, that, you know, that you weren't black. So they just slid all of that right out there just to try to get that vote, in which they did, that specific black vote. But here we are still in that same predicament where we have to sit back and watch everyone else get taken care of. Everyone else receives some sort of benefit, some sort of help to further them as a people, as a group. But we still have to sit not only on the sideline, but all the way at the back of the bus. All the promises right down the drain. I remember when Ice Cube talked so much about coming up with an agenda, with a plan. And so many people were negatively coming out with comments towards him and about him, about his ideas, which honestly, in my personal opinion, was one of the things that should have been brought up as a people to the administration. We want to know exactly what you're going to do for us. We want to get this in writing. What are you going to do for us? Not just a bunch of talk, not just a bunch of promises, empty words, things that we've heard so much, so many times over and over again. But here's a plan. Unfortunately, he didn't get the support that he should have, you know, gotten, you know, coming up with that, the idea of presenting a plan, something concrete. But lo and behold, hey, we heard all the promises. We heard all that was laid out for us. Nothing given to us whatsoever. Reparations off the table. Money poured into any and every other avenue. So much money set aside since the U.S. and others decided to pull out of Iraq and Afghanistan. Now we have so many, we always had communities here with Afghanistan. But now all over the news I hear and see so much celebrated, so much pride in those communities. When I even look around my own city, I see areas where individuals such as us of color are shunned and looked at for just traveling through those neighborhoods in our own country, a country that our ancestors built, just to see how we're constantly at the back of the damn bus. Something I think many of us need to be outraged about at this point. Well, I say at this point for many people, but many of us, we've always been outraged about it. We've always spoken up about these issues, about these concerns, about what it takes to liberate our people from these situations. Tonight, I really want to hear, you know, from some people. I really want to hear some comments, some responses, you know, to what's going on. I don't know if many of you've heard the comments regarding the fake culture wars, but love to hear, you know, what a lot of you have to say about that.
Black power.
Well, that's our little intermission right there with her black power. But yeah, so much going on. I know we've had some great guests that have been on, and working on some others soon. Most likely next week we should have one or two, you know, special guests. I can't really mention any specific names until I get some confirmations, but we will be touching on a lot of these situations, a lot of these issues, you know, that are coming that has been coming up, you know, lately here in this country and globally. I know one guest will definitely touch on some international issues, bringing updates of what's going on across the globe, as well as a few former guests that's been on to bring us some updates on some of the projects that they've been in involved in. But definitely, you know, talking about what's been going on, you know, lately here, some great guests are coming up, some follow-ups regarding a few of the topics that we had. Tonight should be a great show. We know that we got a lot of people listening in across, you know, the nation, as well.
Yes, brother. I had to switch over. The comrade is on lockdown, but brother Delta, he called in, and what I can do, if you want, brother Gray, I can play this Chancellor Williams clip now, and then we can come back and get back into the discussion, if that's all right with you.
Oh, that's fine with me. That's perfectly fine. Black power.
All right, I'm going to play this clip, this 26-minute clip from Chancellor Williams, and we'll be right back. Black power.
What role did religion play in the conquest of Africa?
Well, it played a key role, because it came in with the brotherhood, and the Africans believed in brotherhood. It came in the one world idea, one great brotherhood. And, of course, although there were some states that resisted this, saw through it for a long time. And, for example, remember the Eternal Marty. You'd never forget them. Of course, when you can't generalize for the continent, you see, because we're not talking about one nation. We're talking about a continent of people, you see. Have to keep that in mind every minute when you're talking about Africa, that you're talking about a continent. And we generally talk as though we're talking about one nation. We're talking about a continent made up of many nations. Okay. There were those who saw through the trick of religion as it was presented by both Islam and Christianity, and resisted both. The Marsha state was a great example of this. And there were others who resisted for a while, but eventually gave in because trade was a great attraction. Say, okay, you want to let us in? Well, can you let us trade around your borders here? And they established trading posts all around your borders, and gradually, you got in. But surely you let the Christians come in with this. They just want to preach to you about the same God that you believe in. Just want to show you there's one God overall.
But it was all
trickery. This one. fine as this one.
But it was all trickery.
Yes, it turned out to be nothing but trickery. Now, I would like to say that this was a grand design of trickery. They just saw there was the traitors were shrewd enough to see. The explorers, the conquerors, were shrewd enough to see that if they carried the missionaries in, they wouldn't have to go in fighting. Missionaries in trade is the first bait would make their pathway easier. I would call it, and have called it, the blacks' naivety, the blacks' gullibility, the blacks' over quest for brotherhood. For as I pointed out in a number of places, we were always the brotherhood seekers. We were always the brotherhood seekers. And this has been our main downfall. It was never the reverse. The whites owned the sought brotherhood or pretended brotherhood, or the Asians owned the pretended brotherhood. And when they saw an advantage of economic and political rule as the ultimate outcome.
Why is it that you always hear about European invasion of Africa, but very little about the Asian and the other groups that you mentioned?
Because the Europeans were the last. Colonialism is uppermost in our mind. Colonialism has political colonialism, I put it that way, has just been destroyed. Economic colonialism still persists in Africa. So the European hold on Africa was politically broken when they began to become free and set up their own government. However, as I also point out in my writing, that Africa is only half free, and I would hardly call it half free, when it's only politically free. It will not be free until it's economically free. So long as the economy is still under the control of foreigners, then its government is under the control of foreigners. It was unfortunate that blacks in the United States are still, like their African brothers, absorbed with the idea that politics is their salvation. Politics is not the salvation of the blacks. Politics is only one aspect. Without the other, you're nothing, and that is economic power. Economic power controls the politician. The politician acts and is controlled by the economic power of this nation, of any nation. That's where the power lies.
How did slavery come to be restricted to blacks?
Well, this is called a sort of lengthy explanation, but it's as brief as I can put it. The system was, for example, let's take the first widespread enslavers, the Arabs. They had a patrilineal system. Their offspring by black women belonged to the father. They were generally free. They were generally free. Now, this is a very important point because it became a universal pattern. The freeing of the offspring of non-African by African women, whether they were Asian or European white, they were generally free or given a highly preferential status in jobs, in education, and so forth and so forth. And slavery, after the a great white slave rebellion, became as is generally known, there was a time when everybody was enslaved. Slavery meant no more than political prisoners. I think that's generally known. To be a slave in the ancient world had no racial connotation at all, no racial significance at all. It just meant that whoever was victorious or had slaves. This was a pattern. And they knew very well that they were enslaving scholars and scientists and what have you. They knew that fact as they saw it out, the scholars and the scientists. They took care that they were not killed or hurt. Harmful, they wanted to use them in the home country. Okay, so slavery didn't carry any taint other than that would be carried by our present-day POW, prisoners of war. That's all it was. But now a change took place after the white slave revolt. After the white slave revolt that murdered so many of the slave masters. Then slavery was discontinued among whites and concentrated upon the blacks. Thereafter, no white slavery among these other peoples died out. Now, since they were not enslaving those people who were of lighter hue by reason of their either Asian or Caucasian blood, they were concentrating on those with blacker skin. Therefore, not only was slavery limited to the blacks as a race, but it was limited to the blackest of the blacks, which is the reason why the word black itself became a symbol of bad luck. Because it wasn't going to bother you if you were light. You took a better chance of being free, you had a better chance of being free than if you were black. If you were black, you were subject to be seized. Therefore, it was bad luck to be black, and this is one of the reasons for that. So in addition to the facts mentioned with respect to the enslavement of the blacks along color line, I think it should be pointed out that the circumstances of conquest of the continent in which the invaders had the opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars in the slave trade, together with the exploitation of the mineral wealth of the continent, also together with the divisionism they were able to perpetuate among the blacks in creating strife among the various language groups, all of this made the blacks easy prey to conquest. Finally, in addition to the other facts mentioned in connection with the previous discussion, our willingness to drive for brotherhood and our easy acceptance of the foreigner's hand and his expression of goodwill. So we became the victim of our own gullibility in a very, very real sense.
Specifically, how did Europeans and other groups go about wiping out the contributions of blacks? Two or three things that you could mention.
Well, we've already mentioned the system of how this is done. They simply would take the achievements of the blacks and claim it as their own, all without mentioning the source of their new ideas or their what they call new, in quote, discovery or invention. Things which they had remodeled, they simply would present it as their own creation.
In your book, you talked about how I think the Europeans, if I'm correct, would knock off the nose, the African features of statues. What about this whole thing?
Well, of course, there had been a system, what they call the classical style, over several thousand years of painting, where it was not regarded as proper to either carve, paint, or draw an individual as he really was. You used a form that you regarded as idealistic, a representation of him, which was not supposed to be the true representation. The true representation was always regarded as vulgar. This was a practice, by the way, in Europe also for a long time, where they in any number of cases where they called that which was common, like the common language of a people, was regarded as vulgar. So you have to use something classical, like Latin, to be respectable. So it was in the drawing and such like things in Africa. Therefore, when Khufu had his picture, his actual statue in the Sphinx, carved in his true likeness, his true African likeness, broad nose, lips, and all, this was revolutionary, because this wasn't done. He was supposed to, according to the classical tradition, he was supposed to have sharp nose, not a flat nose.
Once again, who was this?
Khufu.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to have a brownish type of skin and so forth and so on, features, or whatever was the classical style for the period, and not the natural. Now, this shouldn't be shocking if you know the history of Europe or the history of other countries, what was classical and what was regarded as vulgar. But now we look at pictures of the Egyptian pictures now, or pictures of early Africans even. And they don't look like the actual Africans in many cases, except when they want to present them as slaves or something of that kind.
Okay. As you look at African history, do you see any parallels between that history and the condition of blacks in the United States?
Well, it's the same thing. It's a sort of amendment to the question of slavery. Why the whole continent was overrun, and where the whites, relatively a handful by comparison to the total population, could capture and control so many millions of blacks. It is due to disunity. It is due to fragmentation. It is due to the fact that they each wanted his own little kingdom, his own little chiefdom, his own little state, and would not cooperate, would not unite for defense voluntarily, even in the face of danger among themselves. So you have the same parallel in the United States. Blacks today are confronted with a real peril. We're in a state of crisis, but don't know it. We are actually in a state of crisis. Our very existence as a people is being threatened on many fronts, and we are dancing along just as though nothing has happened. We refuse to organize. We do not have the will or the intelligence to organize even as we did on the Garvey. Remember the Garvey, a man coming in from another land, you might say.
Marcus Garvey.
Basically, yes. Marcus Garvey organized half of the race in a few years. Over 6 million blacks in one band in a few years. We haven't done anything near like it since. Now, we're backwards. we're acting backwards. And this is not a good picture. So the same thing then is the same picture as in Africa. Lack of unity. And this is the real answer to the question of why we were successful in slavery. It's the big answer. A lack of unity. A lack of brotherhood among ourselves. Ready for brotherhood with all other people, just as in this country, we are ready for integration with the white or anybody else, third world, anybody else, but we're not ready for integration with ourselves, which is the first step for progress. We've got to integrate among ourselves first before we can be prepared to stand as men and women and deal with the rest of the world as equals. But we don't seem to be willing to do that. And this, the parallel in Africa and in the United States and in the islands, wherever blacks are found, you find the same situation which led to our ultimate destruction, our ultimate enslavement, a refusal to unite among ourselves, but a drive to unite with other people who would welcome our unification so that they could use us to further their own end, which would mean ultimate conquest, ultimate superiority, ultimate world domination.
Why do you think many blacks are less inclined to unite than whites are?
Well, they are less inclined to unite, I believe, for the same reason that we've been discussing in previously. That is to say, we are trained to think against ourselves. We are anti-us. We do not have the same respect for, by and large, this is true, for our own people as we do for other people. And you see, you begin by loving yourself, your own race first. Yeah, you put a high value upon your own. Well, the reason for this is, we've already mentioned, we were cut off from and are still generally absolutely ignorant of our own cultural tradition, of the great men and women of our own bloodline who have made contributions to the history of mankind and to the creation and advance of civilization unexcelled by any other people. But do we know them? No, we don't know them. Hence, we imitate and try to unite with the people about whose achievements we know. We know about the great women of the white world, for example. We know about Catherine the Great of Russia. We know about Elizabeth the First of England. We know about Queen Victoria, even named the biggest inland water in Africa after her, Lake Victoria. We know about them. But ask any black child, or any black teacher for that matter, what do they know about Queen Candace? Do they know anything about Anne and Zenger? And so on down the line. And about the great men and women of our race as a whole. This is the crux of the matter. So that not having this cultural background, which is you are devoted with pride to your own race, because you, like all other people, can trace your bloodline not through their cultural tradition, not through their Napoleon Washingtons and so forth, but through your own race. And this is why knowing about the history of your race is different from any other subject matter, you see. This is why whites put so much emphasis on history. It's not history per se. It's keeping in touch with and making sure that their children and their children's children know what their heritage is, which is another way of saying what their birthright is. What does that claim to civilization? What does that claim to equality among mankind? This is that charter. The charter is a knowledge of your own cultural tradition. And we don't have this. And this explains all of our peculiar behavior, our anti-us, our failure to unite. This is why you'll say, you'll hear some of our most eminent so-called leaders say that no matter if you have a school in an all-black community with all the modern facilities, no matter if all the teachers are drawn from the greatest universities on earth, if they're all black, no good. It must be integrated. You must have busing to get them somewhere to mix them in with white. You have to have a balanced situation. What caused this sort of idiocy? But a lack of faith in your own. And feeling this way, in all totally black situations, the idea is an expectation is that your standards must go down. Don't talk about high standards of efficiency and that sort of stuff. No, you're supposed to bring it down because we're not supposed to be 100% efficient and so forth like other people unless we are among or integrated with them. This is the answer.
In the chapter, The Black World at the Crossroads, you say the Negro leaders who spearhead and carry on the campaign for integration not only do not know the great heritage of the blacks, they do not want to know it.
Yes, that's the reason is quite clear from what I've just said. They don't want to know it because they feel comfortable with their own training. They've been trained. You see, this didn't happen overnight. This started in the primary grade. When you open your little primer, all you saw was beautiful little white children with rosy cheeks and blonde hair and so forth, rolling hoops and so forth. And right on up, you didn't see anything that reflected you. So right on up, throughout, right on through college, through graduate school, through medical school, you didn't come in contact unless you went to some extra effort outside of the school curriculum. And with your own race, and this is the reason. This is the reason.
In the same chapter, you write about capitalistic democracy and communism. You say that communism nor capitalism is the real issue in the Cold War, but that in fact the Cold War is a contest between two of the strongest white powers for world domination. What do you mean here?
Well, I mean just that. I don't need to elaborate on that. I mean just that. Nothing less, nothing more. It's a struggle of Russia as it did was under the Tsars for the expansion of the Russian Empire over the world, just as it was under the Tsar. Simply took it up under a different name and a different crusade now. American capitalism, assuming to take the leadership of the so-called free world, is determined to see that its system prevail. And so that it's a matter of who can influence the most people in order that to see which of the great powers will either dominate the world or have the greatest share in the power in world domination. This is what it is. And of course, you could write a book breaking it down into detailed analysis, but this is what it is. The United States doesn't care anything about a country being communist. So we pull as many billions of dollars into Yugoslavia, I need to Romania and Romania and other countries as we would in any other so-called democratic country. Why? Trying to get them not to be overly devoted to Russia. They don't care anything. You know, I didn't care anything about these countries being same thing in the case of Poland. American dollars, our dollars, we, the people, because that's what it is. You're talking about American dollars. You're talking about what we taxpayers pay. Going to these various communist countries, now we were really anti-communist. That wouldn't happen. So I don't need to go into any detailed elaboration. What I'm saying is rather obvious if you just think about it a moment.
Black power, we're back. It's very obvious if we just think about it, you know, from this clip, this 26-minute clip we played the interview of Dr. Chancellor Williams, he got to the root of what Brother Greg was discussing at the top of tonight's broadcast. You know, let's just jump into it. Black Power, Brother Greg.
Black Power. Hey, listen. Hey, I mean, what else needs to be said? I mean,
it's the same thing today. You know, I want to say right quick and then pass it to you. You know, this battle to control our minds, to control the initial battle that Obama came in and made his bootlicking sellout comment in regards to initiated from the curriculum of the school system. You know, this food system that we call it, that teaches white so-called supremacy and black inferiority. And we see it playing out in the way we deal and treat one another. And that's one of the core in order to keep our people in control. The core institution is the school system. Just think, the majority, when the sun comes up to just a few hours before the sun goes down, you turn your children over to the school system 5 days out the week. So the vast majority of the time, our children are being taught, as we were taught, to idolize, worship, and honor, and only respect our open enemy. And even though there's been a fight for the last two decades to get African-centered curriculums, there's a fight to alleviate that, you know, to take it all the way out the textbook. Not only to take it out the textbook, to wipe the whole concept of what took place in chattel slavery out of the textbook. You know, and so this is not only a political objective, these are acts of warfare. You know, so when you have individuals, he also touched bases on those mixed race children being the ones that were given privilege and given freedom. It's the same thing to today. You have Barack Obama, who had a white mother and a black father, you know, who has lived under the system of white privilege and was catapulted as the head house nigga in charge. And he is being, you know, he's actually worshipped and idolized by our own people. So even when he says the most horrific things against our people, people are mealy-mouthed about it. But this has been the case for centuries now. And so we must fight against these bootlicking and sellout. And lastly, I want to address the fact that the whole civil rights movement was engrossed upon the same premise. And we are suffering economically, culturally, mentally, and physically from the sellouts that pushed our people into integrating with our open enemy. And destroying all the black businesses and enterprises and schools and townships that we had in place. And after decades of this taking place, breaking us economically, they flooded our communities with crack, heroin, breaking even more the spirit and the hearts and minds of the people. And then, you know, on top of that, it ushered in the prison industrial complex, which is chattel slavery, in which the Constitution says you can't be made a slave unless you commit a crime. That further helped to break it, weaken our communities. And in that, you had men taken out of the households, a lot of child molesting and abuse of our children was taking place. Now that laid the door open for all these homosexuals. And then you have Obama who come in, who not only did nothing for our people, he broke his neck and he did everything he could for the homosexuals. And this is why he comes in and speaks in on a matter in regard to continuing to miseducate our people, but also to keep promoting the homosexual way of life. And all of these things are pro-European culture. An anti-African culture. and those bootlicking sellout coon toms that do this time after time to our people must be dealt with. We have to tell the truth about it. They give them all kind of money to be a buffoon. Going to be a black woman with blonde hair? Or you going to sit and have a TV show where you got punk sitting on the table with you and he and ha? Oh, they give you prime time. Let a program like the New Black Panther Party, this is like an underground program. We're going to hold the line regardless. So I pass the mic to you, Brother Greg, Black Power.
Black Power, yeah. Jonathan Williams always hits it on point. And they definitely, the fact of using that mulatto factor, the mixed of the lot to advance is always something that is very, very important and very key. I like to say this and always point back to this because I've spent a good number of years living in a community that's predominantly, not of us per se. The Portuguese Brazilian community. It doesn't matter who it is from their country that's en route here. It doesn't matter. They always look out for each other. They can be at odds on many different fronts, but the mere fact that they are, from the same place is what makes the biggest thing. They can hate each other's guts. They could dislike their entire generations, lack of a better words. But they're going to stick together, no matter what. And it's always mind-boggling when I venture out into that area, that community. And something that always sticks to mind is that race needs to be first. We as a people in the diaspora, doesn't matter, where we're from, where our ancestors are from, number one, or where anyone else in the diaspora is from, Senegal, Cameroon, us as a people, we need to put that at the top, first and foremost, if we want to really talk about building a nation, of us. Not so much, where you're from. Not so much the country of origin. And I point that out just to say or mention some situations or conversations that I've been in where people were so, they were just so lost to the racial indifferences within their own country. They were so clueless to it because of the fact that they just looked at the other person being from the same country that they're from. Speak specifically of Brazil, which has the largest population of African descendants, outside of, Africa. And it was just always mind-boggling that despite all of the uprising and revolt that took place there, still people, just like here, still people were so attached to the fact of, I'm Brazilian, I'm from Brazil, but are just so out of touch with the fact that you're not looked at in that nature. You're looked at as someone who is highly melanated, therefore you are beneath us. It's always mind-boggling. And then what makes it even more interesting is when I meet or have met many of those from Portugal and those from Brazil who are highly, highly melanated, their offsprings who are right in the context of what we're talking about. They got all of the benefits. And if they couldn't get everything, they damn sure made sure they tried everything to get it, to the point where there was a few years ago a high percentage of people that received funding to go to school. They received vouchers to go to more prestigious schools, and they weren't black at all, the whitest of white. And I sit back and say, man, this is still going on across the globe. Everywhere we look, the buffoonery, just the pulling of the wool over people's eyes, the totally not even considering all that was put on the table regarding reparations and what we're going to do for black people. And I can say that based on here and there, because reparations is something that has always been on the table there. What are you guys going to give us for what you've done, you know, to us? Same thing. And they are just fooled and bamboozled by the politics there, the same as we're bamboozled here by the politics. So it's a global battle that we're up against. Global. Everywhere, every turn, it doesn't matter. Where our people are located today doesn't matter. If you're from the African diaspora, you're going to be catching hell no matter where you're at and where you're from. Black power.
Black power. So I also received a call from our chairman out of New Orleans today that was brought to my attention a statement, and I'm trying to pull it up now. I meant to do it before the broadcast. He saw a news clip in which Biden has been promising millions of dollars to $1 million each, I believe he said, to those people from South Central America who have been detained in these concentration camps over the last couple of years. And I'm trying to pull it up now. I don't know if anyone has seen that. So this is being the case. I wanted to actually read the information myself. My computer is moving a little bit slow. But even the premise of that, I just spoke a few days ago in regards to how the 95,000 Afghanistanians were given money from this country as form of restitution. Now you have these immigrants coming in under a immigration system that was set up, that was definitely inhumane, but set up by this government. Don't tell me that we can't get the money from these damn crackers, from this government. Chancellor Williams brought up another key point on how the Europeans have been able to dominate our people, and the key factor being our disunity, our fractionization. You know, we have black people have the nerve enough to want to be disunified over a fucking political party. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. The Democrats nor the Republicans don't give a damn about black people. They all exploit black people. They all exploit black people. They all take us for granted. They are all committing crimes against humanity and allowing crimes against humanity to continue to take place in democratic states like Louisiana. You have the most horrific vaccine policy in the country. You have a city like New Orleans that is majority black, that is no bigger than Newark or no bigger than any other, Austin, Texas, or San Francisco. And all you got to do is go across one bridge, one highway, and you're in another section, another parish, what they call Louisiana, which we call counties, which are majority white, and these mandatory vaccine policies that are going on in New Orleans. I mean, to go into the casino, you have to show that you have a vaccine card. To go into a restaurant, a fast food place, they're using the vaccines to create famine within the urban communities, and only in New Orleans. These racial policies, where you have a black bootlicking sellout black mayor, Contrail. I mean, this bitch was sent and imported into New Orleans from Compton, California, who has pushed some of the most racist, inhumane policies on the city of New Orleans since the moment she got there. She does the bidding of the white conglomerates. Heartless. You have a vice president, Kamala Harris, who sent so many people to prison, so many black people to prison, who is responsible for allowing Troy Davis to be executed, although he was innocent. These black sellouts are all over the damn place. They sit in the city council seats. They sit in the mayor's seats. They sit in any level of politics, because there is a political profile that is done on these individuals. And that many of them have a family history of being sellouts. They come from a long line of sellouts, a culture of cooning. And when you have individuals who refuse to assimilate, participate, or sell out, we have to fight not only against our open enemy, but those who look like us who are doing the bidding of our open enemy. And it is indeed a battle. Within the ranks of the New Black Panther Party, we do not allow Europeans. Or if you're in a relationship with a European, we do not allow homosexuality. These are principles that we will not compromise on. We want independence, separation, and to be free to self-govern our own people. We believe in self-determination. We encourage economic development that's independent, that is for us and for our progress of our race. We are race first. As anyone in their right mind should be, as everyone on the planet is, aside from our beautiful black people who have been mentally traumatized and who are not thinking correctly as a whole, not all, but a critical mass of our people are blinded, dumbfounded, holding on will fight you because you won't be slave-minded as they are. And this nation, be it the music industry, be it the television broadcast, be it the political agenda, be it the corporate level, promotes and pays favor. And trumps in front of you those brothers and sisters who are bootlicking sellouts to say, if you want to have wealth, if you want to have position and prestige, you must operate and play by the tune. You can't be walking around here with your natural hair. As a matter of fact, not only do we don't want you to wear your natural hair, we want you to put on a wig or bleach your hair blonde. Don't be walking around here with them locks. Cut all that shit out. Don't be walking around here with a beautiful black woman and black child. No, we want you to marry somebody that's not black. And then there becomes a major conflict of interest. Every person that I know that is a mixed race is a walks and operates with a glaring contradiction within their own spirit and within the way they carry themselves. And this is a fact, because they have a parent that's of another race. I must specifically speak of those who have white parents, who have a white parent. They're constantly conflicting for the most part. Every now and then, and mostly it's those who were brutalized by the white side that will stand up. Right here in Houston, there's a case. It is so horrific. It came on the news a few days ago that some children were found in an apartment, and they had a brother that had been in that apartment dead for 9 months. Well, at first, they didn't show what race it was. Then come to find out, it was a black woman with a white man. The white man had beat the little boy to death. They left the other children in the apartment, moved to go stay somewhere else. And this lady, mentally ill, wicked, whatever you want to call it, all of the above, said she was dropping food off to them every couple of weeks. But they were living in an apartment with a dead body. Four children, these children, and one of the children, the white guy came in and broke his jaw. How evil. How could you be so engrossed or so mentally ill to do something that evil? You married to this white man. You got a couple kids from him. He's not only killed one of your child, beat the other child, but had you leave all of the children in an apartment with a dead body. You knew that body was in there. This is the lowest level that anything. I don't think an animal would do something like that. The level of degeneration in the mind. The level of degeneration. How evil. This is the most, you know, and it's just as bad. Now that took place in a physical form where somebody played out these psychotic thoughts. Well, how about the fact that this is how we are living as a people? When you just look at the level of how we're operating mentally, we are taking our children, dropping them off to be taught that they're nothing. And you wonder why they kill each other. You take your children, you drop them off, and then you go and work for the people. And you know in your work environment, you are not allowed to express your true blackness. This mind state. Well, you care so less about your children. You just drop them off. And we think it's normal. And it is not. This is why you have people with such gullible minds and weakened spirits. Because this has been going on too long. We must have our own institutions of education where we teach our own children. We just did it two generations ago. And now with the coronavirus, many people have been forced to teach their children at home. And a lot of the parents will get frustrated with their children because their minds have been so fixed to let someone else educate the children. They get frustrated with their children. Even to the point they couldn't wait to get them back in school, to where they're even going to put a lot of the children to receive this poison into their veins. The time of the separation, the rapture, is here. We're living it. We have been so misguided, miseducated. we have people who don't have our best interest. But then we have opportunists. Then we have individuals who fight so hard and have done all the research and have laid it out to us as to what we must be doing. And these are the people that we need to be following. These are the policies that we need to be implementing. This is the propaganda that must be pushed. We have no room for error. No room for misinformation.
That's right.
No room for it. You got something you want to say, Brother Greg?
Yes, sister. Coming out the blocks, we were, behind. Not behind by choice. And what I mean is, you can't say that we're at the starting line. We have a chain on one foot. We got an anvil tied to the other foot. And a person is 30 yards ahead of us. And let's just say the race is only for 40 yards. You just hit it right on the nose, right at the nail right on the head. We have no room for error. Coming out with the short end of the stick, an uphill battle, all of this nonsense at times, all of this bickering and fighting amongst each other, sometimes for no goddamn reason at all. We don't have time for that. We really, really don't. To mention or go on top of what you just shared about the education. Q Butter, Dr. Oya Mayotte, we got Brother Kenyatta up here, the STEP program, Kamali Academy. We can go down, we can just create not just a list, we can create a book just on the resources regarding educating our own children. We have it. But that battle that we have to fight against many of our own, I'll say personally, that's tiresome. That is tiresome. We could put together a book, any topic, or any area that will help liberate us. Education, economics. I know a lot of people still say, we're not taught this, we're not taught that. Granted, I give you that to a certain extent for a certain amount of time, but right now, and it's just me personally, we can get online, we can do a little bit of research. We got so many people who have stepped out in the business world, who's laid some foundations, who's taken advantage of the system just to reach down and back to pull other people up. We can have a book on those individuals who can help liberate and free us out of a lot of financial binding. So we can talk about education, just like you just hit right on the head, sister. We don't have to throw our children out there to be slaughtered from these daycares. When my Instagram page was up, I posted so many videos of our little children being just beaten, locked in closets, pushed around, thrown around. I'm talking about three-year-olds, our three-year-olds. We got the resources. We have the people. But again, sometimes that battle against our own can be so draining. so draining. Black power.
Black power. Hey, man, I mean, the thing is, we at war. That's why we laying it out on the table. You know, like you say, know yourself, know your enemy, and victory is assured. This is part of knowing ourselves. We have to acknowledge the fact that we have those who look like us who don't have our best interest at heart. They never will. And then we have to understand that we have individuals, brothers and sisters, who are clear and knows what must be done. And we must, you know, unite. And when we have issues and shortcomings, you know, amongst ourselves, there must be the proper networks or the proper systems for conflict resolution. To think that, you know, whenever we have an issue, we're going to run to the white man, it's retarded. It's self-destructive. And it's, unfortunately, this is what, you know, we tend to do far too often. We get into a dispute. First thing do, somebody call the police. Should never have to call the police. If we have community control, if we have community control, unless there's a, you know, a dead body or something, or be calling, you know, where someone is, you know, life is in danger and you just don't simply have the capacity, you know, you don't have anyone, you know, that you could call upon. Those are things that we have to develop within our community. Whatever shortcomings that we have, we're going to have to put in place those things to address it. Now, are we talking about something that's impossible? We are not. In addition to that, these what is taking place, see, we're about to be forced to do many of the things that we're talking about. Do you guys know that prices on everything have gone up 25% in these last 60 days? Prices on everything has gone up 25%. That means if you go in the grocery store, you will automatically find something that used to be $3. If it's gone up 25%, that means it's going to be $4. And some products are going up even higher than that, but that's on the average. So we are getting less of a quantity for a higher price. Is another thing that the corporations are doing, because everything that we are used to survive, we are consuming and purchasing from someone else. Everything, the majority, I should say, because there are black businesses and black establishments. This is a time for us to use wisdom and figure out how we can get the word out to our people on those establishments and work out agreements with those establishments that produce things by people, of our people, how we can support those entities and those industries and get some type of a economic grip. Because as a whole, corporate America, capitalism is on a crumble. It's on a crumble. There's starting to be stock shortages on the shelves. We continue to tell you to pile away, to stockpile. As the time is going to get, it's not going to get better. Times are getting worse, people. Now, if you got the country, white America, the, for the most part, this electoral system barely got Joe Biden in by a couple of states, a very slim margin. Now, and it's not like Trump or Biden were any different. Biden is just as racist as Trump. Biden is you know, maybe even more racist than Trump. It doesn't matter. They're both two racist dogs. openly lets you know he's a racist. And Biden is a racist, but he just does it with a smile. Yeah, I need the black vote, but fuck you niggers. That's how Biden did it. Which is more treacherous? For the one that act like they was your friend to fuck over you, or for someone that you knew was your open enemy to fuck over you? I think it's more treacherous when someone who befriends you gets you to let your guard down and stabs you all up your back, in your stomach, in your ear, on every corner that they could. Or at least with Trump, you get your people on guard or any of those wickedness. It's all wicked. I don't believe in neither one of them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not no pro-Trump. I'm not no pro-Biden. I'm just exposing the contradiction here. Exposing the contradiction. We had two more clips, two more small clips of another interview with Chancellor Williams. It's a part one and part two of an interview. And it's very key that we want you brothers and sisters to read The Destruction of African Civilization. And what are some of the other books by Chancellor Williams, Brother Greg? Help to remind me. I don't know where the brother went. But what I'm getting at, there, this just start with this one, The Destruction of African Civilization. I don't know where Brother Greg went. He maybe stepped away. But let me play these clips. And if time permits, we'll come back. Black Power.
Dr. Williams, throughout our history, there is evidence of black-on-black destruction or black self-destruction. Is this true? Is there any type of pattern involved in this type of thing?
Yes, I think there is a pattern which covers most of our history. But I think we need to look at the causes. And the causes are sometimes complex. Complex in the sense that they do not seem to be obvious. We ourselves are not aware of what has happened to us in the course of our history, so that we find that what we were doing 6,000 years ago, which mitigated against our own well-being, are about the same things which we were doing 2,000 years later, another 1,000 years later, and so on down the line. In other words, we have been constantly going in circles, repeating the same errors, which seem to distinguish us somewhat from other people. Now, I think we need to look at what I'm saying here very carefully, because in the study of history, for example, when we get through with the question of what happened, where it happened, when it happened, we are then confronted with the even more important question of how and why. This takes us beyond mere historical data, but recording the incident of history. into a field of analysis which involves other disciplines, such as social psychology, such as sociology, and particularly that part of sociology which deals with the study of people in their psychological relations with one another. And then psychology itself. And there are other disciplines which we have to call in to interpret what happened to us. Very simply then, I think in order to get a good picture, because the question raised is probably one of the most crucial confronting our people today. But we need to see it in its developmental processes. We need to see, first of all, that what happened to us as a people differed only in one fundamental particular from what happened to other minority groups which come under the domination of a ruling majority. This very simply is what we call acculturation. In the United States, for example, it would be called Americanization. The process of minorities becoming an American by absorbing and adopting American culture. Now, what is American culture? American culture is essentially and fundamentally Anglo-Saxon culture, German in origin, and anti-African and anti-black traditionally. Every group in this country, in becoming an American then, must absorb, must become a part of the American political or the Anglo-Saxon political ideology. The Anglo-Saxon religious ideology, the philosophical ideology, the social ideology. In sum, the Anglo-Saxon outlook on life. This minorities do is a part of the strategy for survival, as a part of accommodating themselves in order to get as much benefit as is possible living under an alien people. Now, in the case of other groups in this country, to become an American did not mean becoming anti-themselves. An Irishman can become an American and still be loyally devoted to his mother country. So can the Poles. So can the Greeks. So can any other ethnic group you might name, except the American blacks. They were cut off completely from their heritage, their history. They had nothing to rely upon, no frame of reference, except that of the white world. Their aspirations then had to be that of the white world. So that from babyhood on, they were learning the ways, the ideas, the aspirations, the outlook of the white man. Their studies were of the black children I'm referring to now, from the earliest primary school days on. Their studies were white studies. They saw nothing that indicated that they themselves were persons of equal worth. They saw everything to the contrary. The whole orientation was the worship of all things white and the degradation of all things black. Because once we began to know gradually what has happened to us, and not until we began to know it will we be able to deal with it, that all of us without exception have been acculturated. We have attempted to be so American that sometimes it is charged that the blacks have been more American than anyone else in our devotion, in our attempt to prove ourselves. We're the only group in the whole population that seem to be ashamed of our African heritage. Indeed, many deny an African heritage. They look upon Africa with scorn. They've forgotten, for example, that they are by race Africans. This isn't true of any other people in the American population. No other people. Now you have to keep this clearly in mind when you bring up the question of black on black, why blacks disrespect blacks. When you bring up the question of why blacks seem to hate themselves, hate one another. Why a black will kill black with the drop of a hat, over 25 cent argument, whereas he wouldn't kill a white man who insulted his mother or raped his sister. Have to ask why. Have to ask why. And there's a reason for it. The reason is that in our acculturation, to put it graphically, we underwent what you might call a white mind transplant. The transplant of the white mind into black head. So when I have said in one passage in the recent work that the greatest victory of the white world over the black was not the conquest of their land as tragic as that was. It was not the conquest of all the wealth, mineral wealth and otherwise, of that land as devastating and tragic as that was. It was not even the conquest of their body and an enslavement of their body as tragically degrading and devastating as that was. But the white man's greatest triumph over the black, and what seemed to be an almost permanent triumph, was the conquest of the black man's mind.
so that he doesn't have to, he, the white man himself, doesn't have to carry on genocide. You hear us hollering about white man genocide. White man doesn't have to carry on genocide. All he has to do is stand aside. And he even see that we're carrying on the genocide for him. We're the ones who are murdering our own people on a scale that amazes the world. Now, by contrast, if you want to get the difference in attitude, then you hear of a Jew murdering a Jew, for example. Not only would you find Jews generally shocked, but you'd find the population as a whole generally shocked. Well, Jew murdered Jew. This isn't done. Jews, this there wouldn't be Jews. Not going to murder this. Well, he'd fight. But murder one another? Oh, no, they're not going to do that. Why? For instinctively, they know that the survival of their race is involved. So they don't want to murder one, no matter how angry they may get. They don't want to murder. What? Because down through the years, they've held on to their cultural history. No matter in what land they live, no matter with what other institutions they identified with, in whatever country they live, they held on to their own history, their own tradition, their own religious ideas, and thus created this solidarity so that no matter how small the number, they are strong, because they do know that it is a living fact that in union there is strength, and without union there is nothing. They don't stand together. Now, we don't have that, so that we see ourselves today running in all directions. Keep this in mind then, and this is the last thing I'll say on this particular subject, that it was through the process of acculturation, and this happened not only in this country, but wherever we have come under the domination of the white race, his first move was to blot out our own hurt. Even in Africa they did it. The mission school's first objective was to make all things Africa savage. It was to teach that westernization was equivalent to civilization. That to be a westerner was the one's highest aspiration. This is what the black young people and those who had the opportunity to attend the mission schools in Africa taught. Anything after, no matter what how noble it was in your tradition, you would drop it as something to be equated with paganism. And you didn't want to be a pagan, for that meant to be a savage. You want to be educated, be a European. And so the Africans in Africa strove to get away from those things which are Africa, forget everything that was African in their own native land, and to cleave to those things which are European and white, as represent the idea. Same things throughout the island. So we're not, what the phenomenon in the United States was not just peculiar to the United States. And this is why, then, that you'll read statistics such as 305 murders in a given city, 200 in a given year, 285 were blacks murdered by blacks. This is why in any time you pick up a newspaper and see that a prison was murdered, you don't have to ask whether it was a black murdered by another black. You don't have to ask that. You know it was. You know the black didn't murder a white man.
The black power, that paradigm shift has to change. The paradigm shift must change, and we are going to have to be those that are affecting the paradigm shift. You know, whatever is going on with us amongst our people, for the good or for the bad, is our responsibility. We need to not only give ourselves credit for those things that we have accomplished and are accomplishing. We must be clear about those issues, be it sellout Negroes, be it our lack of unity. All of these things must be addressed and addressed in a very comprehensive and a clear manner. And those things that we must celebrate amongst ourselves must be highlighted. We are a very beautiful people. We are a very powerful people. Yet we are very confused and for the most part, of people who are being constantly under attack. And many of our people don't even realize what's going on. So those of us who do know what time it is, who are clear as to what is going on, we must be responsible for the solutions for our people. So brothers and sisters, we are going to sign off on tonight's broadcast. Brother Greg, did you have any closing words?
Yeah. Not that word.
That's it. We're going to end it the way we started. Black Power, hit us up at nbpp.org to support the new Black Panther Party or to join. We'll be back, same black time, same black channel, tomorrow night.
Yeah.